What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Spot for some sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two, we in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, we your number one spot.
Chalk up this love. Hey, this is our first show back.
Oh, man, give it to him. Give it to him.
I mean, it wasn't last night. But it's close enough.
Yeah.
Sacramento Kings win again.
Win a minute. And
you not know what Sactown brings. Win on the low, that's a Sactown thing. Talking about us, it's a bounce out thing. Must they forgot we some Sacramento Kings. Whole squad going crazy, yeah, we back with it. Northern Cali going crazy, one sack winning. If you doubted us then, ain't no backspinning. This is real right here, ain't no catfishing. So tell me what you see now. Coming down the lane off the rebound. It's 9-16 now. Look towards the sky like the beam now.
Tell them like the beam.
Hey.
Hey. Shout out to that boy Young Zell.
Yes, indeed.
We welcome you in here to the Tuesday, January 21st edition of D'Lo and KC. I'm Damian Boiling.
The ultimate needle mover.
He is Kenny Caraway.
Yes, sir.
Acknowledge me.
And we are live.
The worst slums of Sacramento.
Yes, indeed. And we've got some things to talk about and some people to talk to. Trista Crick, I think, question mark, is going to be with us at the 2 o'clock hour.
Busy she was night for Trista.
On the field in Atlanta.
Man.
She was on the field more than Travis Scott was. on
busy
the field
night in, Atlanta.
In Atlanta to see Ohio State win the national championship. We'll talk to her.
What, I mean, all you had, like, bro, we didn't even need all that. Like, that's doing way too much. All you had to be like, yo, Trista, she was on the field in Atlanta. She might be here, you know, in the 2 o'clock hour. She, boom, Kings won on Sunday. Like, you didn't even have to do all that. You really didn't have to do all that.
She was covering the Buckeyes winning the national championship.
What are you talking about? Like, we sitting there, I just said we didn't have to cover any of that. We don't have to talk about none of that.
It is my job to set the table for people who are kind enough to tune into this program. Trista Crick's going to be with us. If you don't follow Trista Crick on social media, one, shame on you. Two, she was on the field in the national championship, the game that Ohio State won last night. That's what she was doing. That's what she out there grinding. She had a Eddie George jersey on, Ohio State legend, out there hanging out with Maurice Clarett, Ohio State legend, watching Ryan Day with his biggest moment in coaching history, his coaching history, because not a lot of people thought he could do that. In watching Ohio State.
Do we know if Ryan can cuss somebody in the stands? Did you see when he threw the headset just into the stands?
Yes.
Somebody could be concussed right now.
Well,
would you do that?
Well, he could be concussed. Did you see when his cart ran into a brick wall? I felt so bad for that girl. She
just fled the scene.
She just had the national championship winning coach in her golf cart, and she goes to turn and she's all smiles, boom, right into a brick wall. Like, oh God. And then she tries to smile and back up, and then the cart's dead.
The tough part is when she's like, all right, let me try to back this out, and she's just not going. She's like you like a fake smile because you're embarrassed and all that. She gets up, looks at it, no.
Poor girl. Just cooked. Just absolutely cooked.
When you go home, it's like, oh, how was work? Yeah, crashed the cart. Coach had to walk to the podium.
Well, but other than that, Ryan Day had a good night last night.
What a terrible night that was.
I disagree. Shout out to Marcus Friedman and the Fighting Irish. A little, nice little ball game there. And congratulations to the Ohio State University.
No congratulations. Stop saying
winning the first ever college football playoff championship.
Best team money can buy. Huh?
That's facts. That's the name of the game, pal. You know what was weird? It really stood out last night was when they're talking about a player and they go, yeah, man, he did a lot of that at Texas Tech. Oh, yeah, because you're used to hearing that, like, with rookies. You're used to hearing that with players in the NFL. Now you're just hearing it with players in a different year in college. Oh, he did a lot of that for Lane Kiffin old at Ole Miss.
The game has changed.
We know the terms of the deal, too. Oh, he's making $6 million per this year.
Crazy. Yeah, absolutely crazy.
In all seriousness, Ohio State can go to hell. But on seriousness, shout out to my man Reggie.
They'll see Harbaugh and the Michigan Wolverines out there, too.
Well, what are you talking about? Fair and square. Okay. National champions. Okay. We'll be back next year.
Hey, Jesse, real quick. Stop. Can you look up how many games Ryan Day was suspended this year?
Actually, I can just off the top of my head, I know that. I believe it was zero.
Oh, okay.
One, the Michigan game. He wasn't there.
There's a difference between being incompetent and being suspended. Harbaugh was suspended, and Ryan Day was just...
But...
Not incompetent, maybe just a little frightened.
In all seriousness, somehow I have so many damn Buckeye people in my life. Shout out to my Uncle Thomas, a big Buckeye fan. Shout out to him. Shout out to our man Reggie down at the Golden One Center.
Oh, yeah.
See him this man whole way through. Yep. Big Buckeyes fan.
Yep.
And in all seriousness, shout out to Ryan Day. Ryan Day. Oh. No, because if you look at
I would have shouted out Chris Biederman and Io Taylor first.
Well, shout out Chris Biederman. Ryan, shout out my man Io always. But
Ryan Day can whatever.
Ryan Day, hey, man, he's had to deal with a lot. He's had to deal with a lot. He is what was the record? It was like 61-1 or something like that against other teams outside of Michigan.
Well, it's got to be two because he's lost though.
He lost to, well coming
well,
into the
oh,
season.
Oh, it was it was Harbaugh. It was he had beaten everyone except for Harbaugh.
Yeah. Well, even outside of Michigan, it was like 61-1 or something like that. And then he lost to Oregon, so it's like 61-2. Hey man, he was wearing that. And you could like I joke about the throwing the the thing into the stands and he couldn't
throw it hella violently too.
He couldn't wait for the Gatorade bat. Like he was wearing that, man.
Well, he deserves it.
He deserves it.
You gotta imagine too, like when they win, it's like the celebration, but also like, all right, let me take this breath, a sense of relief.
Yeah, because you know what fired. Ryan Day is doing today.
He's on a plane somewhere.
Yeah, he's recruiting.
Yeah, he's on a plane somewhere.
Yeah, he is out recruiting today. Yeah. Like there's no relief. There's no breath. There's no nothing. Like he's out worrying about because last year. It was Ohio State who saw their rival win the national championship. Mm-hmm. And then they went out and had to do the things that they had to do all within the rules of college football, whether you agree with them or not. Mm-hmm. That's the game that's played now. And it was it 61-2, 61-3? Mm-hmm. Had it been 4, we're telling you that Ryan Day is unemployed today. Mm-hmm. That's what it all boils down to. That's the sense of relief Jesse's talking about. But at the same time, it's like, well, Michigan beat us last year. Mm-hmm. They can't beat us again.
They will.
That's the thing though. It doesn't matter anymore because it used to, if Michigan beat Ohio State, Ohio State could win the national championship.
Right.
If Ohio State beat Michigan, Michigan couldn't win the national championship.
Right.
That's not a thing anymore.
Yeah.
So it doesn't. Exhibit A. It doesn't matter. If you win a championship, you can lose to your rival now because it's
though.
Yeah, you can lose to your rival now because it's not keeping you out of an opportunity
right.
to win the championship. Right. You still have an opportunity if you're 11-1 after that game is being played.
But you said it. You had a key point there. You got to win that championship.
Have to. Yeah, because if he had lost, yep,
and lose in the first round of the playoffs or second round, like it's not going
to The fact is, and this is the tough part for Ryan Day, and you don't have to agree with this, Ohio State's probably had the best team in college for 3 years. Certainly the last two.
Definitely this year.
Oh, they absolutely did this year. I argue they did.
Well, Georgia them years, Georgia was tough. Like, Georgia was
3 years
crazy.
Ago?
Yeah, Georgia was. That's when they beat the snot out of TCU. Like, Georgia was crazy.
TCU was our barometer for.
Well, I'm just saying. Like, nobody was beating Georgia that year. Like, Michigan wouldn't beat Georgia. Michigan wouldn't beat Georgia. This year for sure. You heard me say a couple times this year, I was like, man, they going to do it this year. Like, Ohio State was cold. And. Yeah, they handle business. I think Ryan Day's a good coach, man. I do. Like, in all seriousness, I think he's a good coach. He's got this little mental hiccup thing with Michigan, which gets people fired, but that doesn't make him a bad coach. So he's a good coach.
Well, I think he also got over that be all end all game hiccup last night. Like that game got tight at the end, and he didn't tuck. He didn't curl up in a ball. He didn't go in, he didn't go in the defensive mode. He didn't go in the cover-up mode that a boxer who's up, in late rounds will do. He'll just take the punches. But he kept swinging. Mm-hmm. And they called plays with the idea of winning that game, not of surviving that game.
Right.
They called plays to win that football game, and that's why they did. And he deserves a lot of credit for it.
Yeah,
he deserves a ton.
To hell with them, though. You know what I mean? To hell with them. We see y'all. We ready. We ready.
You can be ready for whatever want to, unless you're good enough to compete for a championship next year. It doesn't
matter. That's exactly what we're going to do.
You can win one game all year if you want to. You can have it.
No, that was a reload last year. That was a reload year. We back next year. Stop playing with us. We back. We ain't even really going into the transfer portal like that. We back. Stop playing.
All right. Okay. Whatever you say, pal. You and your colorblind coach, man. Good luck to you. Where was your colorblind coach at yesterday? Was he at the inauguration with Snoop and Mike Tyson?
Might have been with the. I ain't gonna say.
Yeah,
I'm gonna need Notre Dame's coach that just gotta. Hey, bro. Like, stop dismissing what's going on around here. Yeah, a little too much for me, man. I understand, but come on, man. All right, man. You are. All right.
Yeah, you're kind of damned if you do. You're damned if you don't, though.
Well, that would be.
Just
say what it is. Sometimes it's okay to say what it is.
All right. Remember the last Notre Dame black coach got fired in like 7 seconds. So let's just be careful. Let's just be careful what we're telling Marcus Freeman to do.
Like, you trying to say he's trying to not let them know? Like.
Oh my!
Oh my God! He is black.
Word. Oh, no big deal.
No big deal. I still love him, but you are the black head coach.
The Sacramento Kings continue.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy, the Night Stalker. These names are infamous, but do you really know what drove them to kill?
In Mind of a Serial Killer, we don't just tell you the story, we break down the psychology behind it.
Follow and listen to Mind of a Serial Killer, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Continue to roll, baby. Winners of 9 of 11. Ooh. Sick straight at the house with the Golden State Warriors stepping into the building tomorrow. We've already got people eager to join the show tomorrow. Mm. Bonte Hill joining the show for the first time in God knows how long. He'll be with us tomorrow at 2 o'clock. We'll step out. We'll come back. We'll reset. We'll get started. We'll talk Sacramento Kings basketball. They win again over the weekend. There was a handshake before the game that I guess pissed off Kings fans.
Yeah, no, we got to talk.
Certainly, man. Pissed off James.
Nah, people got to settle down, man. We got to talk.
Handshake heard around the world or what?
Heard around the region.
We got to talk, man. People kind of they going overboard, man. They going overboard on this guy, man. Come on, man. We'll talk though. We'll talk.
You can't have it both ways.
Yeah.
We'll come back. We'll get started. Stilo and KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Hey, we back at it. We got Kings talk to take care of. But before we do that, can we handle a little business? Air horns. Happy birthday to our girl, Justine. Let's go. Happy birthday, Justine. Big ups, big ups. Air
Justine,
horns.
That one, Justine, right there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Air horns
again.
Happy birthday, Sherlyn L. Grove.
Hey!
Let's go. Sherlyn L. Grove, she's going to be at the Garden on Saturday.
You mentioned that.
Yeah,
that's Kings Knicks.
Yeah, and when she found out they were playing the Kings, she said, I don't want to see the Kings.
Well, maybe she'd go watch her sorry-ass Golden State Warriors and sad Steph Curry play.
I think she's planning her exit from those guys, though. I see it on her lane. She's like planning that exit. And she's like, oh. Well, I like Monk. I've always liked Monk.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I've always liked Fox.
Huh.
And then Sabonis, she didn't always like him. But now she's like, well, he's gotten better. He stepped up his game.
Okay.
So she's
warming up.
Yeah. I see where this one's going.
I see it. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, she's welcome. She's welcome.
Absolutely.
We'll invite her over. She can leave her stupid little jerseys, her little jackets, her little T-shirts, her stupid little ring. Yeah. She can leave all of that stuff at the house.
I agree.
She can.
I mean, there is the fee is gone up. Like application fee is gone up. But I'll push it to the front of the line.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. Cheryl, you're welcome over here onto the Sacramento Kings bandwagon. As the Kings have won 6 straight at home, this team's record at the house was a disaster a couple of weeks ago. Now they've pulled back to 12-12 and at home, 22-20 overall, currently in the 8th spot, a half a game behind Dallas, a game back from the Los Angeles Lakers, 2 games back from the Los Angeles Clippers. They are in good shape right now, a half a game above Minnesota, who lost yesterday, a game above Phoenix, who lost yesterday, and a game above the Golden State Warriors, who currently sit just outside the playoff picture at 11. Of course, they play tomorrow.
Yesterday was absolutely picture perfect for the Sacramento Kings.
Yep.
Picture perfect.
Indeed.
The Mavs lost.
Yep.
Timberwolves lost.
Yep.
Spurs lost. Suns lost. Warriors lost. It was all good. Clippers lost too. It was all good, man.
Indeed. Yeah, the Bulls beat the crap out of the Clippers last night.
Another 30-point game for Zach LaVine.
They had quietly won like 4 in a row.
The Clippers?
The Clippers did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Clippers have just kind of strung together some wins and Chicago was able to get him. But the Kings continued their winning ways over the weekend, beating the Washington Wizards. And gosh, this, we talked about the six straight at the house. We talked about pulling themselves back to a 12-12 record, a 500 record at the Golden 1 Center. And man, it's sure difficult to not look back at that trip Doug Christie took them boys on. Wow. Up to the beam and calling them the light of the city and that whole, because they haven't lost since, I don't think.
Just the Bucks game. Just the Bucks game.
Was that here?
Yeah. Well, no, they he did that after like Philly.
Yeah, okay.
He did that like after
it was Philly. Their it was their first win though, wasn't it? With Doug? It was the first time the beam had been lit at that because they lost to Los Angeles.
I'm sorry.
They came home.
It might have been Dallas where he did that. It was Dallas or Philly, and you're right, it might have been Dallas. Oh, you mean at home they haven't lost. You're right.
Yeah, I'm talking about at home.
I thought you meant in general.
Okay.
My bad. But no, you're right. I mean, six.
Yeah, they've only lost the Bucks game in 2025.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only game they lost.
They run 2025.
When you talk about, I think it was the Dallas game, because that of course, the Lakers game was in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
That was the game where he took them up and gave them the speech. And, man, it they've responded.
Absolutely.
They responded. That Bucks game was on the road. Yeah, they six straight at home, man. That wasn't just a speech, man. Those words seem to have resonated with those players.
Absolutely, man. And Doug Christie, he's pushing all the right buttons right now with this team, and especially at home. He talked about, you know, how excited he was to see these guys play well at the Golden 1 Center, because he understands what it can do, obviously, for the city, for the crowd, but for them, for the guys in that locker room, to have that team behind, or excuse me, have that crowd behind them, and then answer the bell, and how it can uplift not only the city, but uplift that locker room, uplift mm-hmm. those guys out there on the court. And that was a heck of a move by him, like you said, taking them to the roof and having that moment. And yeah, it kind of feels like, I don't want to say everything is fixed good, because I'm still kind of taking it game to game, but it feels like the woes that they may have at the Golden 1 Center may finally be over. Like, yeah. It feels like they finally have tapped into that possible home court advantage that could be so great if they were able to play home at, play this well at home consistently.
Well, it feels like the woes at the Golden 1 Center were the woes of the Sacramento Kings. Like, they weren't exclusive to being at home. They weren't exclusive to being on the road. It was amplified because they were so bad at home, and you're just not supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And it feels like the woes of this team have been corrected, and the ones that haven't been corrected, they've just found ways to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the Kings are doing right now. They're playing really, really good basketball collectively. They're having different guys step up, and it's normally a rotation of guys. It was cool seeing Alex Lynn get the defensive player of the game. Like, he played some major minutes in that game against Washington. Of course, Washington, that wound up being a blowout, a 123-100 game, but that's what you want.
Yeah.
Those are the types of situations that you wanted, guys like Alex Lynn to be able to play a ton of minutes, and Domas being in the low 30s.
Yeah.
De'Aaron scored like 12 points in that one. No one even cared. I think Doug called it one of his best games because of everything else he was doing out there on the floor. Mm-hmm. This team is operating 100% in sync right now.
Yeah, I couldn't have said it any better. In sync is what they are. And confident. They feel good about themselves. They looked at that Washington game on Sunday and said, you know, this team, they don't need to be hanging around the way they are. And they turned up, and they turned a, they might have been 10 or 7-point lead into 20 real quick, like real, real quick. And that's the confidence that we're seeing from this team that we didn't see. We saw one time this year when they beat, or maybe two times, they beat San Antonio at San Antonio on a Friday. They beat the hell out of Utah here at the Golden 1 Center on that Sunday. But it feels like that's like the only two times we've seen that in the last year and a half, season mm-hmm. and a half.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they would play these teams like the Wizards last season
mm-hmm.
and be some kind of struggle for whatever reason. Like, it was something that you, we had angst about as we were watching the game. Like, are they going to blow this or anything like that? And Sunday was just like a coronation. It was a good time.
Mm-hmm. It was.
In the Golden One Center on Sunday. And I also had, shout out to my guy, Bo. He said he had a lot of people at that Wizards game 2 years ago as well. Mm. And it is scarred. That game is scarred.
Everyone in attendance. Yeah.
So he said, tell D-Lo, I was there that day too with a bunch of people, and it wasn't a fun ride home.
Yeah.
So to beat the Wizards at any time is a good thing.
Just getting revenge for Wizards Christmas time 2 years ago.
The Wizards are doing that to
me. Hey, Sacramento. Are the Wizards good? No. No, we're just getting our ass kicked.
We'll never forget December 23rd.
Never. Gonna make a ribbon. Gonna make a never forget ribbon for December 23rd.
Yeah, but you know,
2023.
I love the way they're handling business, and hopefully they can do it one more time. We'll talk about it more in depth probably tomorrow as well. But one more time on this quick little homestand to go 3-0 on Wednesday would be great. Would be great. Regardless of, we're gonna have fun with it tomorrow. But regardless of who they're playing, if the Warriors or not, like, man, 3-0. Before you head out to, I think it's a 6-game road trip. Mm. That's exactly what the doctor called for right there. If you can finish this off.
Yeah, we'll have some fun with it for sure. But it's Steph, so I'm gonna be nervous all day. No matter how crazy I talk to Bonte tomorrow, I'm gonna be nervous as hell.
As long as Steph is over there, as long as 30 is over there, and you don't ever feel good.
I'm gonna mute the group thread too, just in case. I don't want to get these stupid ass messages. Another thing that stood out, Domas was incredible. DeMar was terrific. Man, it's hard. I don't know that I'm hitting on this Tuesday with the hottest take of all time, but it just felt like another game where Malik just was the heartbeat of everything going on out there. Like, the game was stamped with the windmill dunk.
Mm.
There's so many moments that you point into that game where you see it to start to get out of hand.
Mm-hmm.
Malik is at the center of those. You go back the game before against Houston when you felt really good about where the Kings were. Malik was at the center of that, staring down Dylan Brooks.
Yep.
That's coming off of the game where they got their ass kicked by Milwaukee that Malik didn't play in. And again, I don't think if Malik Monk plays, the Kings beat the Bucks. That's not what I'm saying. Malik Monk plays, that game might be a little bit different. Whether they win or lose, I can't tell you. But those markers that Casey was talking about last week where, man, I just thought if they could get it to 15 and they'd get it to 17, Malik is the one who gets you over the top. Malik Monk is the one who you think, like, sets those markers out there on the court.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, let's just cut this lead to such and such. Okay, I'll do it then.
Right.
And he has that. He has a different type of takeover ability than DeMar and De'Aaron do. He could take over a game once in a while, probably not with the same consistency in which those guys do, but there are moments in a game that he can dominate where it's like one Malik Monk play, two Malik Monk plays, three. Okay, now the Kings are up 13.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened against Washington the other day.
You know what it is with Malik Monk? One of the things it is, because he's that dude, like, you know how I feel about Malik Monk. But this is almost a little bit like what we talked about over the summer. You know, what I pointed out over the summer is like, all right, if you're Washington, even if you're Houston, man, we got to find somebody to guard De'Aaron Fox on the perimeter. Let's put him in on him because, like, that's former clutch player of the year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got to stop him. That's the head of the snake or whatever. Man, DeMar's he's cooking now too, man. Oh, man, we got to put our second best guy on DeMar. Like, he's cooking.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, you got Malik Monk being guarded by random NBA player X. And Malik is like, he's that good.
Mm-hmm.
He's that good where in another situation, he would warrant, hey, we got to put one of our best defenders on him because he can go off. There's too many guys on the Kings now for you to do that. You're going to give something up when these guys are all kind of cooking and they're out there on the floor, and Malik is feasting on that, you know, borderline defender that the other team has. Like, you, and I don't know what you do in some cases, because you can't guard Malik with just some random guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's gonna cook. And that's not even to say if you put the best guy on him, like, he wouldn't cook. But I know if you just got a rando on there, man, he's going to use him to death in the pick and roll. He's going to ISO him. He's going to blow by him. So what do you in the Houston Rockets? Do you put a man on Malik Monk, and now you've got a rando on De'Aaron Fox?
Mm-hmm.
Good luck with that.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the things that we kind of talked about, where they could have a situation where, at least in the regular season, is just too much offensive firepower to match up with from night to night. And Malik, he makes these guys look foolish when they don't take him seriously in the scout, or they just don't have enough to guard him, because he's a game changer.
Mm-hmm.
He is absolute. Not only we talk about his energy a lot, but just his skill level. He is a game changer. He can go for 20, 30 at any point in time if you don't have the right matchup for him. And we see that a lot. We saw a little bit of that on Sunday.
And he can go for 15 and kill you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's one of he's one of the most unique players in the league, based on his ability to do that. And whether Mike Brown truly recognized it or not, Malik Monk's game went to a different level when he got here in Sacramento a few years ago. Somehow it feels like it's gone to another level with him finally being put into the starting lineup and being a full-time starter in the NBA. Mm. That's a position that I'm not taking shots at Mike. That's a position where I'd wonder, like, what exactly would have changed if Mike were still here?
Mm.
I don't feel like the starting lineup is changing at all.
If Mike was still here before he put Malik in there?
No, Mike put Malik into the starting lineup. If Mike were still here, I wonder if he'd start tinkering with it again.
I got you.
I don't think that's going to happen. I think the starting lineup that we see, barring an injury, is the starting lineup we see for the rest of the season. And if they're all here, it's the starting lineup we see moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
This group, I think, has cemented itself as a group that can play together and play really, really effectively together and win games together. They lift each other up when the other one isn't playing particularly well or is having an off moment or an off night or whatever. This is a group that seems to work perfectly in sync. And I could completely be wrong in this regard, but I feel like you could throw Keon Ellis into that group and say you have a perfect synchronization of six players,
yes,
not just five. And you might be able to throw the rest of the roster in there. The way that these guys are playing, you want to throw Trey Lyles and Alex Lynn in there. Maybe it's a little bit more of a stretch when you talk about a perfect in sync with those guys. But I think when you talk about the top six and you've got Keon coming off of that bench first, this group flows flawlessly together.
And shout out to Keon Ellis, because when we left here on Friday, we didn't know when we'd see Keon.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, he out there on Sunday. And not only is he out there, 18 points, 6 of 8 from the field, 6 of 8 from beyond the arc as well.
That shot he hit at the end of the third quarter was stupid.
Oh, man, come on.
But not just the shot. That's not – the whole sequence.
Yeah, De'Aaron getting –
from De'Aaron winning the jump ball to Keon getting – recognizing the time, the situation, yeah, getting the shot up and just blowing the roof off the Golden 1 Center.
It was lit. And at that point, I don't even have in the notes like what the score ended up being at that point. But it was like, oh, yeah, we ain't losing.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
It was like, yeah, you know, it got to 7 or
that
10.
That kind of felt like a it's over moment.
Yeah. Yeah, man, that was dope to see. But Keon Ellis.
I feel like it went to 16, but I'm going to look to be sure.
This guy is... He's invaluable to this team. He's exactly what they were looking for. Just him, the way he plays.
Plus 13. It was 90-77 when the shot went in.
What he brings to the table, he's everything they were looking for.
Yeah.
How long have we been talking about a 3-and-D type player? How long have we been talking about somebody that can defend on perimeter,
yeah,
who can hit a catch-and-shoot three? Like, we've been talking about it for like a year and a half, and he's here. And now he's getting the opportunity to play, and he looks extremely vital to what this team has been doing lately and what they're trying to do in the future.
After that three from Keon went in, the closest the game got after that was 10.
It must have been real quick, too.
This is with 8 minutes left.
Not that quick.
Game got within 10, and then 13, 15, 17, 19, 21,
23.
Got as high as 24. That was a big time shot. It was. I mean, think about it. You're at 10. Maybe you feel okay if you're watching it. Maybe you're not great, but you might feel okay. And then you've got, again, it's the sequence. It's De'Aaron winning the jump ball, which the optics were insane because it was against Valanciunas.
Yeah.
And then Keon just kind of stepping back, recognizes what's going on, kind of falling back a little bit, hits the three. The arena erupts. You're done when that arena erupts that way. And then they go out and finish the third quarter the way, or excuse me, the fourth quarter the way that they did.
And on that shot, I know me personally, I was like, Keon gets the ball, and it's like, is he aware? Like, is it wasn't right away. He started dribbling. He backed up a little bit. And it's like, is he aware? And then sure enough, he gets the shot off just in time.
I think he told Deuce and Mo he was looking for Fox. And he was like, he knew he didn't have a lot of time, so we looked for Fox, didn't have it, and knew he had to get the shot up, so he got it up.
There we go. What a play.
Also, a shot. Morgan Reagan thinking several kings for the beam is just, it's a special moment in history where we just start thinking, guy, thank you for the beam and keeping it moving.
Can I say that's what she said?
Sure. It's good. What are you doing? Like, what are you doing right now?
Did you watch The Office this weekend or something?
Did you watch an episode? Is that what you want us to ask? Okay, Kenny, we'll play along. Did you watch an episode of The Office this weekend?
Well, that was the theme of that episode.
It's the theme of every episode.
Well, no, because there was the sexual harassment episode. What's his name?
The one where Pam's mom?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So Michael Scott was turned over a new leaf.
Yeah.
And what's my man's name? Jim.
Jim. You always leave me wanting more. Yeah. Are you talking about?
Jim's the one that was like egging him on. Yes. To say that. Yeah.
Well, you always left me satisfied.
the funniest part, I can't even really say. I just probably should say it
It's a TV show. Say it.
Nah, man, I ain't gonna say it, man. I'll say it.
Say it. I'll dump it if it's that bad.
It can't be that bad. It's The Office.
I ain't gonna say it on the commercial, man. I'm comfortable
saying
it.
Boo.
Hey, wow.
Kenny Hogan out here just getting booed out of the building.
Bill Packer, was that his debut?
Todd Packer.
Bill Packer was an announcer who was like one of my favorites.
Was that Todd Packer's
Bill Raftery,
debut?
Actually,
yes. No, that was, yeah, that definitely wasn't. I think that was Todd Packer's debut, yeah.
Bill Packer was he somebody that.
Look at you. You're proud of this, right? So how many episodes did you watch?
Just that one.
Okay. Well, all right.
I finished Lost yesterday.
So Jesse watched the entire series of Lost before you got to the next episode of season two. Okay. Here you go.
Come on, man.
No, that's good. That's what you wanted.
Nobody thought I could get it done. Nobody thought I was going to do this. The whole world didn't think I would get this done. And I did. Stop playing with me. Episode two.
No one's proud of you. I just want to be very, very clear. No one is at all proud of you for what you did. As Paulo says, KC averages an episode every 8 months. And that's a kind analogy. That's a kind percentage.
Stop playing with me.
Jesse, what'd you think of...
I'm not going to lie. I got to a point where I'm watching the last episode yesterday. I'm next to Crystal watching. Like, all right, this is starting to piss me off.
You just wanted it to end, right?
Yeah, like there was nothing being like it got answered. I guess like I get the ending and how like
what's your interpretation of the ending?
Well, they all died and they're going into this whatever spiritual world, heaven. What do you want to call that?
Like, so they were in.
Some, going.
So
they all died. They all died.
So they were in some like purgatory.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not ever gonna watch.
Spoiler
alert. I'm for anybody listening. I'm not ever gonna
Lost watch. Is so, a TV show. It's six seasons. I finished it yesterday. That's it.
Were they lost? Was it a figment of their imagination? What the hell?
Yeah, they were lost. Yeah, they were
that's,
lost.
That's,
yeah.
Yes, that's kind
on,
of the thought.
On Earth?
Well, no. In like a... So, tell me if I got this right. The plane crashes, uh-huh. and it's like you hear this with people who almost die. They go through something. The show is them going through something.
Mm.
And at the end, they walk through the little white. So the show opens with Jack, who's the main character, opening his eyes. It's a view with him on his back. Uh-huh. His eyes open. The camera pans up. You see that he's laying on the ground. He opens his eyes. That's how the show starts.
Okay.
They go through six seasons of God knows what, walk through something with light, all together, smiling, happy. The light fades out. That camera view hits again. Jack closes his eyes.
So what I get from that is they were dead the entire time.
The whole time.
See, that's not what I don't think they were dead the whole time.
Or were dying.
I think Jack died on the island or whatever, but like Kate and Sawyer, James, whatever you want to call it, like they got off on the plane at the end or whatever. And then like Hugo stays on the island because they talk about that at the end. Like they lived, I don't know, it's weird. The show.
What?
The show don't make sense, but they weren't dead on the island.
Wait, was Sawyer in the room that went to the
Yeah, they all were, but it's just.
So why is he not dead?
He did, but eventually the whole timing of it all it doesn't make sense.
This is why the show sucks.
Yes, that's why I said the last episode. I'm like, all right, this is starting to piss me off a little bit. I don't know what, like, they weren't dead though. I don't think they weren't dead the whole time. Some
Jesse
died.
Would know
but,
better than I would. Hey, yeah, it sounds like
was
they were
the
dead.
The cast of Lost dead.
I'm waiting for.
No. Now she's giving me the cast. Okay.
Jorge Garcia.
All right.
Yeah, I, like I said, Jesse would know better than I. He just watched it, but it sounds to me they were dead the entire time. No. Especially if they weren't on.
Like the beam.
Like, we don't even know if they were on Earth.
See, I don't believe they were dead the entire time. Some died on the island, some got off the island. Yeah, they were on Earth. It's just.
But if they got off the island, why were they in that room together?
Because that's separate. That's like the whole parallel.
And why did they leave Jack there to die?
How do we know they were on
Earth? He had to sacrifice himself, he thought.
He just laid there.
It's Jack. I don't know. Jack's a weird guy.
What do you think? Jack just went to the same spot, laid down, and closed his eyes?
He kind of did. What's his name? That's the Morrison. Not... Adam Morrison.
That's not what happened. The plane crashes. Everybody, like, Jack is fighting with dying. That's what I think it is. He's fighting with dying. And then the end, he stops fighting and closes his eyes and he dies.
That sounds like it. Why doesn't...
Never watch this show.
Yeah,
you can. If you're listening, never watch it.
You can watch it to say you watched it, but like, it's not even a top.
Okay, you can do it.
Yeah,
just know
if you want. It's a show. That's all I can tell you.
Just know you're going to leave pissed off. I mean, if you watch it, you're just going to leave pissed off.
What are we talking about? Like 120 episodes or something?
I mean, six seasons.
Well,
I don't
know about 15 per season.
I don't think it's 20 per. And they're an hour. It's not like it's 30.
No, hell no. We ain't watching this, bro.
And there's moments where you're super like, oh, this is okay. Mm-hmm. Like I told you, that one season where they were flashing forward, that was fire. Mm. And then it just was like, what am I watching?
You just ended up hating a lot of people, like a lot of the characters.
Yeah,
too. Like Kate was just always like, oh, we're going to got this plan. Kate's like, oh, I'm going to mess it up then. Entire time, yes.
Kate's just banging everyone on the damn island.
Charlie, I was trying to get Charlie off the show from day one.
Well, Charlie was off the show in like day two.
Exactly.
All right. It's okay. So watch Lost at your own
Watch The Office, like I do.
Yeah, well, one episode every 8 months. We'll come back. We'll talk more Sacramento Kings basketball, including Kings fans finding a reason to be pissed off after a 23-point win.
Come on, guys.
D'Lo and KC on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Sky River Casino is the place to play with 2,100 of the newest slot machines and over 80 table games. Sky is the limit over at Sky River Casino. Great tables, great games, tremendous food. Make your way over there when you're looking for something to do. We got a couple of things cooking for the next couple of weeks out there. As soon as we have the chance to pass it along to you, we most definitely will. Kings win their sixth straight at home. Kings win 9 of 11. Kings are up to the eighth spot in the Western Conference.
Yes.
Kings beat the Wizards by 23.
Good luck.
Kings blow out a bad team.
Do handle business.
And still, there were people who found reasons to be frustrated following the Kings-Wizards game on Sunday. And I blame Matt George for it.
I guess I missed this. What were they saying?
Well, I guess me and Matt George were upset.
Well, Matt had...
Matt had probably the bigger reaction, though.
Matt...
that was crazy.
Matt...
In that clip.
Matt had his camera trained on Kyle Kuzma, who walked over before tip-off to dap up Vivek Ranadive, Kings owner. And that seems to infuriated some people. Kings fans? Maybe a colleague or two of D'Lo and KC? They seem to have been upset by Kyle Kuzma dapping up Vivek Ranadive and then following it up with a 3-for-15 performance.
Oof. Tough.
So Kings fans, I don't want Kyle Kuzma. He stinks. He'd be so bad for this team. He'd ruin the chemistry. He's awful. He's terrible. He'd be a downgrade. Oh, look at him. Begging the owner for a trade and then can't even shoot well.
So
I'm gonna find Matt's tweet and see what some of the quote tweets say.
So
because I'm sure they
got to the game.
There is background between them too, with Kuzma and Vivek.
Yeah, Vivek's wanted him on his team for like 6 years.
Well, they're investing in a Major League Volleyball team too.
Yeah, they got a relationship.
Yeah.
But so I got there, you know, early enough on Sunday, and Kuzma was working out, and I just took some video, asked the question, "Future King?" with a little thinking emoji, and I'm not even here to be like, "Oh, it went viral." I'm not saying that because there's no like real retweets, there's no likes, just 62 replies of no. That's all it is. Just reply, no. No, don't want him. Are you crazy? Da, 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 da. I'm like, all right, guys. Well, all right. That's fine. That's fine. But then yesterday I asked the question. I said, look, all we heard, especially when Mike Brown was fired, was Monty McNair should be fired because he didn't do anything. Mm-hmm. This roster needs help. And just do something. Do anything to help these guys out.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody says, hey, why don't you get Kyle Kuzma? And it's no way in hell. No, don't do that. That would be so stupid. Well, okay.
Beam Kings 916 says, keep him as far away from as possible from our franchise. Dom Don't Sleep says, we don't want bro. Laughing emoji, laughing emoji, laughing emoji. A Conor McGregor meme that just says, no.
Dismiss this guy using Conor.
Yo.Kel says, I'd rather we did nothing at all. I'm so serious.
And this is what I say. I there's a couple things. Number one, first of all, stop saying do something, do anything, because you don't mean it. And you're trying to be dramatic on Twitter and on the radio and all this other stuff for dramatic effect only, because you don't mean that. Because I gave you a player, a bona fide NBA player right there, and it's anybody but him. So let's just stop. Maybe I'm too literal with it, but stop saying do anything, Monty, because you don't believe that. You don't mean that. You're being dramatic. All right, so let's settle down with there. Second of all, look, Kyle Kuzma, I don't know where this whole notion that he's just this awful player came from. Like, he's not a bad player. He's not. He's just not. And the whole notion that, you know, he wants to do that instead of win.
He wants to do what?
He wants to play on a team instead of win. He wants to play in a bad organization instead of win and make money and all this other stuff instead of win.
Because he would be the first NBA player in history to pick money.
Right.
I mean, also, Kyle Kuzma against the Golden State Warriors was 7 of 12, 3 of 6 from 3 for 22 points. Game before he was 2 games before he had 22.
I think people
3 of 8 from three,
and people are like, KC, you're just defending Kuzma, all this. I was like, I guess I am, but I don't think he's like this great basketball player. But I also don't think he is this detriment to the locker room, and he's just awful. All the metrics, look at his advanced analytics and all this other stuff. Like, all right, man. Like,
there's no shred of evidence that shows Kyle Kuzma is damaging to any locker room he's been in.
No.
Not one.
No. And this notion that he is, I don't understand where it comes from. Like, literally the only thing that I can point to is because you guys don't like that
the way
he was dressing. Mm-hmm. And he played
for the Lakers. This particular franchise, I think part of it is that he played for the Lakers.
I think, well, it can't be, because when he was with the Lakers, he won a championship.
They don't recognize that.
Because they look at him as a losing player.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't possibly be thinking about him as a Laker, because that's when he was winning and he was a major factor to them winning. They have to be thinking about Washington, the wardrobe and all this other stuff, which he said he cut out this year, by the way.
And you ridiculed him for it. Your producer friend in there.
Well, the announcement is what we ridiculed him for. Like, all right, sir, just show up in sweats. I don't need you announcing it.
It's a lot of pressure, guys.
Yeah, what?
Old E, our brother Old E, obviously very, very familiar with Kyle Kuzma. He says you have to get him motivated, and then he has like 10 exclamation points. That's my only gripe. 10 more exclamation points. He's ass unless he can be motivated. Old E, tell me how you're aware of this. What, you got a relationship with what Frank Vogel? Who? Help a brother out. Like, give us some insight. Because I'd be very curious.
And to be honest, maybe people can find an article or something. I can't remember like a crossword being said about Kyle Kuzma by teammates or anybody else like that.
Kyle Kuzma is averaging 14 points per game, 5 rebounds, and 2 assists. There are people who will tell you Mason Plumlee will be valuable for this franchise. Here's the thing. You cannot like Kyle Kuzma if you want. Like, that's perfectly within you. But also shut up. Because Monty's got to do something. He's got to do something. It's what you were just saying a minute ago. You can't ask him to do something and then be mad when he goes, oh, there's talks of acquiring Kyle Kuzma from Washington.
And everybody, oh, I'll take Valanciunas as well. Well, you might not get him. Like, if you just get Kuzma, you just get Kuzma. Like, it's fine.
Kyle Kuzma is not coming to Sacramento to start. Kyle Kuzma is coming to Sacramento to be a significantly better version than Kevin Huerter, who is about this close, and I apologize to the radio audience, but I'm making that gesture where we're not far away from Kevin not even be referenced when we're talking about Kings games anymore.
Mm.
He's regularly in single-digit minutes now. He's not a factor in what the Sacramento Kings are doing.
Mm-hmm.
Where does the Kuzma's not a winning player stuff come from, too?
Because he's on the worst team in basketball.
Well, the thing is, LaMelo Ball not a winning player? Like, are all these players on bad teams not winning players then? Because, like, Kuzma,
well, James
was starting, averaging like 20 a game with the Lakers, came off the bench with the Lakers, like, took a role there, won a title, and then, like, so is it just the Wizards stuff? Because, like, all right, then there's, like, 5 different teams with full of players that aren't winning players, I guess.
We have jokingly about it, but I think it's absolutely, and you've mentioned it before, it's the wardrobe stuff. It's the wardrobe stuff, and when he was a free agent, he like. And here's the crazy thing about like Sacramento, my people here in Sacramento, saying that the Wizards were bad, and Kyle Kuzma were just going off of what's on record, and you know he was getting money too. I'm not disputing that, but he said one of his reasons for re-signing was I want to help lead.
Mm-hmm.
I want to lead. We're not good right now. I want to turn this into a winning situation. We have begged randoms to do that here in Sacramento for years.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy said, no, I want to be the difference. Like, I want to be the guy and help turn this franchise around. Has it worked? Is he even capable of it? No, and probably not. But that's not – how are we disparaging him for, one, trying to get paid, like – get your money, and two, trying to take on the role of being a franchise changer or a culture changer for a team that was losing. Like, how is that a bad thing?
We also point out Kyle Kuzma hasn't requested a trade.
No.
He signed a contract to do all of those things you're talking about, and he's out there playing basketball. There's absolutely nothing to read in to him, despite people like Kenny Caraway and Matt George following these players around like paparazzi with their cameras and posting pictures of him dapping up an owner. Like, it's not unusual. Two, it's not even a thing. Mm-hmm. As Jesse noted, those two have history together. Like, it's not a thing. But yet, we get frustrated with him because, oh, he should have taken less and come and played for Sacramento 2 years ago when he had the chance. Okay, bitch, you take less. You take less to go work at a different job somewhere else in a different city. You do that. You in Sacramento right now, you go take a different job to work somewhere else and not get paid as much. Do that. We're quick to tell these dudes what to do with their money because it's money that we can't fathom having. So you do it. You try it in your real life. I'm getting $100,000 salary here from this company, but I'm going to move to a completely new situation and make 60. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do that because that's what I'd expect the players I want to play for my favorite basketball team to do.
Right.
Stop it.